I said, it still amazes me that I was worth it. Amen. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 5. Once you get to your place, please stand for the reading of God's Word. If you're able, if you're not, it's okay. God gets it. You can reverence from where you're at. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. This is a very familiar story we're going to look at today. Looking forward to this. I'm kind of excited about this. I like this story. 2 Kings chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Can't help but see some things in this story that encourage me about when folks really get saved. And I use that term, really get saved, because, look, I know there are folks that make professions of faith, but my Bible tells me that when someone really gets saved, the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God makes us a new creature. It's not something that might happen. It's something that does happen. You become a new creature. So I can't help but see something that really excites me about when folks really get saved here. There are some elements that lead to salvation, and then some elements that come natural for sanctification. And I can't help but see them in this, see this New Testament salvation in this Old Testament story. I want to talk to you today about taking a bath. You know, we're talking about Larissa. She's not here, so I'll talk about her. She's got this bridal shower coming up. I know that we're not literally going to shower her, okay? But we need to take a bath. Okay, I want to talk to you some more about taking a bath. Naaman took a bath one day and came up a changed man. Oh, Pastor, are you going to say baptism saves? No, that's not where we're going. We're going to get where we're going, okay? But I want to talk to you some more about taking a bath. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Lord, so thankful for how good you are, God. Thank you for saving me, God. I'm so thankful, God, that you've done that, Lord. Lord, that night before, knowing what was coming, knowing the agony, the torture, Lord, knowing the rejection, Lord, knowing that folks would depart from you, that you cared for, Lord, knowing all that, God, knowing that you would have to give your own life and shed your own blood, Lord, you did it anyways, Lord, as we heard this morning. Lord, I'm so thankful for that, God. Lord, I love you because you first loved me. Lord, I pray now, Lord, as we look to your word, God, you'd help us see these things, Lord. I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, that the devil would have no stay here, Lord. I pray, God, that anything that he might do, Lord, would be quenched right now, God. I pray, God, that you just bind him up, Lord. This is not his house. This is your house, God. And I pray, God, that you just cast him on out, Lord, and any of his minions, Lord. I pray, God, that all those things that would distract us and take our attention away from your word this morning, God, Lord, that those things would be cast out. Lord, that each and every individual would do their very best, Lord, to just listen to you this morning, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd help me, Lord, that it wouldn't be what Larry says, Lord, but it would be what God says this morning, God. And Lord, I pray for those that might be here today. Lord, they just have never, Lord, been saved. Lord, they've never accepted Jesus. I pray, God, you'd help them. I pray, God, you'd show them today what you've done for them, God, and Lord, what you want to do. And Lord, for those that have, but Lord, just haven't got all in, Lord, I pray, God, you'd help them today, Lord. Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you right now, Lord. I pray, God, you do what only you can do, and we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Again, I know this is a familiar story, and as is any other time I've shared a familiar story, I'm going to share the story anyways, and if you don't like it, get over it. Okay, I like telling stories. I like the stories that God gives us in His Word. Amen. And what we've got here is we've got a Syrian general by the name of Naaman. All right. Now Naaman is a great man. Naaman is a great warrior. Naaman is somebody. Naaman's got power. Naaman's got prowess. Naaman is the man in Syria. The only one higher than him is the king. Now Naaman's got a problem though, because see, I don't care how much power and how much prowess you got, you still got a problem with sin. And Naaman had a problem. Now, leprosy in the Bible is always a depiction of what, church? Of sin. Now, leprosy, when it starts out, it's a disease without a cure. If you didn't know that, leprosy has no cure. Today, thousands of years ago, there was no cure for leprosy, and today there's still no cure for leprosy. What happens is it starts out on the inside, and folks don't see it, Chris. They don't see the leprosy. It's not something that you can see right off, but what it does is it starts to eat away at you on the inside. And before long, it does come to the surface. And it affects in different ways to different folks. It may be that someone has leprosy and the first place it starts to show up is on one of their hands or on one of their arms, and a little white spot will start showing up. Before long, it'll start scabbing over. And then before long, the flesh has literally started to get eat away by this disease. It literally eats you from the inside out. When folks are riddled with leprosy and they've had it for years, you can see Brother Tommy Tillman sends pictures sometimes. He ministers to leper colonies there in Thailand, and what an amazing ministry he has there. And you see some of these folks, and you can see them without part of their jaws and without part of their face, and missing limbs and missing appendages, and having whole parts of their body just eaten away by this disease. Leprosy is a vicious, vicious disease, and it's always a type of sin, because sin's the same thing. Sin starts out on the inside. You may have done it on the outside, but guess what? It started on the inside. Whatever sin it started with temptation. You were pulled away. You were given into lust, and you start to sin. And see what that is. When you start to sin, you start to hold on to that instead of repenting it, and you have that sin in your life. And it may start out small, and it may start out just a little bit, but eventually it grows. Why do we have so many addiction programs in our nation today? Amen? Why? Well, because, folks, that sin starts to come out. And when it starts to come out, it starts to eat away at your life. And what may have been something on the inside that people don't really notice and people don't really see, pretty soon it comes out on the outside and people can see how it is deteriorating your life in great ways. That's what sin does. And Naaman here, this great man, this general of the Syrian army, had leprosy. And guess what? There was nothing the Syrian doctors could do about it. There was nothing the Syrian king could do about it. There was nothing that anyone in Syria could do. His wife could do nothing about it, but his wife had a little maiden. She was a captive of the land of Israel. Now, this little maiden took care of Naaman's wife, Mrs. Naaman. She ministered to her needs, okay? I don't know what it is exactly that she done, but she was her servant, okay? She was a slave there in the land of Syria. But the thing was, what she did was she said something one day. Here Naaman is, he's riddled with this leprosy, this disease, and I'm sure he tried to hide it for a while, because usually when folks find out you have leprosy, you know what they do? Lepers have their own colonies. Y'all understand that, right? It's a very contagious disease. And so lepers have to go away from everybody else. So Naaman, I'm sure, was pretty good at hiding it for a while. But things had gotten so bad to where it was starting to get out. And so this little maiden, she knew that he had leprosy. And she said, would God that Naaman could go to the preacher in Israel. She said, oh, if he only knew what God could do. That's what this little maiden said. Oh, if Naaman only knew what my God could do. And see, there was somebody else there in the house that heard her tell this to Mrs. Naaman. This person must have been one of Naaman's servants, and she heard, or they heard this little maiden say, look up here now, look up here. She heard this, I can't help it, okay? If you're not looking up here, Jeremy, right? I don't think you're listening, amen? And I'm not picking on Jeremy, we just, you know. My junior church kids, as they've grown up, they know that. If you're not looking up here, I don't think you're listening. And listen, I take it personally when you're not listening. It hurts my feelings, okay? And don't you want to be an encouragement to the pastor today, amen? Amen? No amens? Not at all? I'll quit. I'll just sit down. Somebody else preaching. No, let's try and listen to what God has said, okay? And I know I was listening. Well, you know, fake me out, okay? Act like you're looking at me, okay? All right, so Naaman had this servant who heard the maiden. Heard the maiden say, would to God that he would go to the prophet in Israel. Only he knew what God could do. And so this servant tells Naaman, Naaman, there's something that can be done. There's something. I heard this maiden say this. And they even told the king. I don't know if Naaman did or the servant did, but the king said, let's send you to Israel. Let's send you to Israel. Let's send you to the king. And so Naaman does. He gets all this stuff. He's got all these gifts, this silver, this gold, these garments. He's going to take all these. You know, folks really attention on clothes in those days. I mean, we do that today too, don't we? A lot of attention in clothes. I don't know what that has to do with the message. I just now thought about that. Man, the Bible has a lot of folks really care a lot about clothes back then. It's not a new thing, Miss Mary. I think we really care about clothes. Amen. I have no idea what that has to do with anything. It might come up later. I don't know. But so Naaman goes to the king, and the king says, "You know what? Let's go. Okay, you've got this problem. We'll send you to the king in Israel." So they do. He packs up, and him and his servants, and they got this entourage, and they head over to the king of Israel. And they go to the king of Israel, and they said, "Heal me." To the king, you know, "Hey, I heard that you all had the cure for leprosy." And the king, I mean, the king got scared because, see, Syria was kind of in charge right now. Syria had already come and taken some captive. Syria was somebody that they had done battle with a few times. So here the general of the Syrian army is now standing in front of the king and says, and all the king's hearing is, "Heal me or else." Okay, that's all the king's hearing is, "Heal me or else," because here he says, "Well, is the king of Syria trying to seek something against me? Does he want to fight?" The Bible says he even rent his clothes. Okay, now, Ian, that doesn't mean that he went to, you know, a place and paid money for his clothes. It means they ripped their clothes, and I don't know why they did that. If I did that, I wouldn't wear any clothes every time I got upset. You know what I mean? If I did that, I'd have my wife be sewing buttons on constantly because I get upset a lot. And only at her, though, so it'd be her own fault. So if she'd just quit making me upset, she wouldn't have to sew buttons, and I've digressed. So Naaman is now standing here in front of the king of Israel. And the king of Israel says, "Am I God? Am I God?" Now, what's really sad is the king of Israel knew who could cure the leprosy, but in his own statement, showed his ignorance. He said, "Am I God? I can't cure leprosy." But the thing was, word got to Elisha. Now, if you don't know this, Elisha is the prophet that came after Elijah. Now, Elijah is one of my favorite characters in the Bible, only because I like smart alecks, and Elijah was a hardcore smart aleck. Elisha wasn't as sarcastic, but Elisha now is the man of God. And so Elisha hears what's going on, so he heads over to the temple, or he sends a servant over to the temple to tell Naaman to come see him. Tells the king, his servant tells the king, "Send Naaman on over there to Elisha." So Naaman does. Naaman goes over to Elisha. He gets there, and Elisha sees that he's out there, and Elisha tells his servant, Gehazi, he says, "Go out there and tell him to go take a bath in the Jordan River 7 times. Okay? So Gehazi goes out there and tells Naaman, "Elisha, the prophet here in Israel, says go take a bath in the Jordan River 7 times, and your leprosy will be cured." Well, now Naaman had come a long way, amen? Right? He'd come a long way from Syria. He'd already been to see the king. The king didn't help him. He's sent now to the man of God. Now he's waiting for the man of God to come help him. And he sends his servant. Naaman is a great guy. Naaman is a powerful man. And so he says, "Well, why is he sending me a servant? And why would I go to the Jordan River? I've got 2 rivers that are twice as nice there in Syria. Why on earth would I go? The Jordan is disgusting. It's muddy. It's not a good river like we've got in Damascus. Why would I go to the Jordan River? This is just retarded. How come the man of God didn't come out here and call on his God and slap me on my leprosy and cure me?" And he got angry because he wasn't going to be cured. And he didn't want to do what was necessary to do. Now, I don't know if it was the same servant that heard the maiden or not, but for just my mind and the way I like to put things together, I would almost say it was probably the same servant that said, "You know, Naaman, if he had told you to charge a mountain on fire with a squirt gun, you'd do it." Now, he didn't say those exact words, but I'm paraphrasing, okay? If he'd have told you to do something great, then you'd have no problem doing it. And all he said was, "Go take a bath." That's it. That's all he asked you to do, is go take a bath. And so it's not the clean rivers that you like. So it's not what you think you should do. So it's not how you think it should work. Why don't you just go ahead and do it? I mean, look, we've come this far. You know, you've come all the way from Syria. You've come seeking a remedy for this. And now here you are, and the remedy's been given to you, and you're going to just throw it away? Because it's not good enough for you? Because you can't wrap your mind around how it might work? Just do it, Naaman. So Naaman does something crazy. He goes to the Jordan River. And he goes down in, and I know there's some of you know that story. He gets down in the Jordan River, and I just see Naaman getting down there. Oh, I can't believe I'm getting in the stinking Jordan River. You know, I don't know if he got in with his armor on or not. I doubt it, because armor rusts, you know, so maybe. So I don't know that he, what kind of effort he took into going into the Jordan River, but he goes in, and I can just picture him out there, you know, reluctantly, you know, because sometimes we do things reluctantly when God gives us instruction, doesn't we? I know I should have said don't, but doesn't came out. We do things kind of reluctantly sometimes, don't we? You know, like cleaning the church on a Wednesday night, we might do it a little reluctantly. I can just see Naaman doing it reluctantly. Still leprosy. Dip again, Naaman. He said 7 times. Comes up. Still leprosy. You only done it twice, Naaman. Do it again. Still leprosy. How many is that? 3. Thank you very much. I'm still leprous. Keep going. And then just imagine him coming up the 7th time. I want you to think about this now, okay? I don't know how long he had this leprosy, but he'd had it long enough. He couldn't hide it anymore. There was no doubt he was a leper. There was no doubt. He counted 6 times, come up, and he was still a leper. 6 times he came up, and he was still a leper. That 7th time, he came up. Now, you know why? Just my 2 cents. Why did the Bible say that his skin was like a newborn? Y'all ever wonder that? Why it was like a baby's? He just got reborn. That makes a little sense, don't it? He gets up and he sees that skin. Pure. Clean. I don't think Naaman got up and went, cool. I love sharing the story with other preachers. I don't embarrass this person, but I remember the night Chris got saved. He'd come up here and he prayed and he's just sobbing. And he's just a hot mess. And he heads back and I don't know what he went to do back here. I mean, I don't know, collected himself. But boy, when he came back in the auditorium, everybody remember what he said? He said, woo, what a rush. Now, you're not supposed to do that in Baptist churches. But Chris didn't know that. You know why? He was a new creature. There was something happened to him. There was something happening. He came up that 7th time and noticed there was a difference. Naaman came up that 7th time and he noticed something was different. The leprosy was gone. He was clean. I don't think he got up and said, cool. I think it was probably more along the lines of, woo, what a rush. I imagine he come out of that water pretty happy, Chris. I imagine he's pretty stoked. Come out of there, clean, smooth skin. I mean, listen, no lotion on earth was going to do what it just done there in the muddy Jordan. No lotion on earth. No oil of Olay, okay? No Lubriderm, all right? No ointment, no salve, no balm that you're going to find or collect was going to do what just happened to Naaman. And he comes up here and he's got the smoothest, silky skin. He was a new creature. And he got up. You know what he did? He didn't go flying back to Syria to tell the king. He didn't go to the king of Israel and say, look what happened. He didn't do that either. You know where he went? You know the first place he went was? We read it right there. He went right back to the man of God. He went right back to the man of God. And he said, what can I do? What can I do? What you got? What can I do? What has been done to me? There must be a price that I can pay. What can I do for you, man? Well, I saw that the other day and I got excited. I got excited. There's something that happened to Naaman that day that changed the way he looked at it. And I want to look at some different steps here that got Naaman to this point. There's some elements. There's some folks here. There's the witness. The witness. She wasn't a native. She wasn't a native of Syria, this little maiden girl. And somebody took my microphone off. What'd you do that for? Please stand by while we fix the technical difficulties. Y'all, man, I'm warm. I think we might need to turn the air on. Pastor's starting to sweat. You don't want that. Yeah, I wasn't kidding. Go ahead. They can cry. They're going to cry more if I start sweating on them. Y'all don't want to smell that, I promise, okay? So Naaman had a witness, this little maiden girl. She wasn't a native of the land, but you know what she had? She had something. She had a faith. She had a faith in what God could do. Now let me just help you wrap your mind around this for a second, okay? She ain't at home. Y'all get that? She ain't at home. She's not in a great situation. She's not in exactly where she wants to be. Life has not gone the way that she wants it to go. She is a slave in a foreign land. Are you listening? She is not in the prime spot that she might want to be. She's a slave in a foreign land. But you know what she had? She had a faith in a God that she must have been there for a reason. And she said, oh, if he only knew what God could do. Oh, if Naaman only knew what my God could do. Oh, if he had a clue at how God could help him. You know what that took? That took something. That took a foundation of faith that that girl had. She had a trust in God. And so what'd she do? She voiced it. She voiced it. She was a witness. Oh, if you only knew what God could do for you. Then there was the worker. I don't know where he was. Maybe he was standing outside Mrs. Naaman's room and heard this little girl say this. Maybe they were in the kitchen and he heard this little girl. I don't know. But he was watching. He was watching this child of God. Okay? He was watching. He was listening. And he saw. He saw this little slave girl who could have been miserable, who could have hated doing everything that she had to do, who could have just thought life had dealt her a bad deal and that she just didn't have to do anything but gripe and complain why she did what she had to do. That, you know what he saw? He saw someone who had joy in their life. He saw someone. You know how I know that? Because he didn't just say, she don't know what she's talking about. He said, I've seen her. I've seen her testimony. I've seen who she is. And if she thinks that God can do that, then he must be able to do it. So he went to Naaman. There was the witness. There was the worker. And let me tell you something. Not everybody has the job they want. You understand that? Chris, not everybody gets to do what they want to do. Not everybody has been dealt the best position in life. You understand that? Life's been rough. But you know what? God's still good. God's still good. And so while you're off in this life, wherever it might be, and let me tell you something, you're not a native of this land, child of God. Amen. You are not a native of this land. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. But while I'm passing through, I ought to be a witness for God. And this little girl, she may not have been a native of Syria, but she knew God enough and had a close enough relationship with God to let God witness through her, to let her faith in God be known to everybody. So let me tell you something. This worker, this other slave, this other servant, whoever it was, he saw what she was and he took what she said as fact. You don't go to the general of the Syrian army and say, you know, I heard this might work. That's not what the servant did. The servant said, listen, I know this girl. I've watched her, and she loves this God she talks about. She talks about him all the time. I've heard her talk about how good he is and what he's done, and here she is, and how can she say these things in the life she's in? It doesn't make any sense, Naaman. This has got to be the right way. This has got to be what's going to work. That little witness, helped that worker get a grasp of grace, and he took it to Naaman. So we got the witness, we got the worker. And let me tell you something, witness. Listen, witness, folks are watching you. You understand that? Folks are watching you. They're watching your life. So bad things are happening. You've got this bill. And you've got, listen, let me tell you something. You know the last thing you want to do? And I mean this. And I'm as guilty of this as anybody else. You don't want to go into work and start complaining about how bad life is. You are not showing the victory of the Lord God Almighty when you go into work and say, oh man, this is happening, and life's just been so rough, and I don't know what I'm going to do. You know what you're going to do. You're going to trust God to get you through. That's what this witness did, and that's what that worker saw. Let me tell you something. I don't care. I don't care what life is dealing with. You ought to be going into work and say, boy, I don't know how in the world I'm going to get through this and how it's going to happen, but I just know the God of heaven who loves my soul, and He's my Heavenly Father, and He's promised to give me everything that I need. I know He's going to get me through, so I ain't going to care about it. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Somebody's watching you. There's somebody watching you and what your faith speaks through you. So we got the witness, we've got the worker, then we got the preacher, a man with a message. I know Naaman went to the king of Syria, king of Israel. He didn't have an answer for him, but the man of God said, I've got an answer for you. I've got a message for you. And he sent the message out to Naaman. I've got a message for you. He knew where the water was. The preacher knew where the water was. Now, that upset Naaman, didn't it? It upset Naaman because the preacher said, go here. Go to the Jordan. But man, I've got something over here that's much better. I've heard this is much. Listen, these are cleaner. This is going to work better. I don't understand why in the world that you're going to send me over here to this dirty old water. Everybody's been in this. This is just a mess over here. Why on earth would you send me over here when I could go over here and get it done probably even better? But see, the preacher knew where the water was, and he sent a message to Naaman. And the preacher was also this. He was a cleansing coach. He was a cleansing coach. He says, you go over here to this water. Here's the message, Naaman. You go over here to this water, and you dip 7 times. You want to be clean? You want to get rid of that thing? You come over here to this water, and you dip 7 times. And let me tell you something. You've maybe you've had a witness in your life. You've had someone tell you about what Jesus has done. And I know it doesn't make any sense. You know, I am the way, the truth, and life is what Jesus says. There's no other way. There's no other way. But Jesus is the water. That's our next element. He's the water. The preacher sent him the message. The preacher told him where the water was. The preacher told him how to be clean. But then there's the leper. He was hurting, and he was hopeless. You ever been hopeless? I have. I remember the last time I felt absolutely hopeless. It was September 28th, 1998. I thought for sure I was going to die and go to hell. I was hopeless. I thought there was no chance I was going to get to that altar before I died. You ever felt like that? Naaman felt hopeless. Naaman was seeking salvation. He was looking. I mean, look, you don't pack up and go from where you're at all the way to Israel and then pack up from there and go all the way to the preacher. You don't do all that if you're not seeking salvation. And the thing is, he was even willing to do whatever it took. You know, whatever he was willing to work and however he could to get what he needed. He said, look, why can't I go do this? And the servant even knew Naaman's heart. The servant knew Naaman's heart and said, look, if he asked you to do something great, you'd have done it. And Naaman, he's sitting there trying to figure out, why on earth would I do this? Why on earth is this what makes sense? Why on earth would I do this when this is more clear to me? This is what I think I should do. And you know, we're just like that. We're just like that. We think, you know, that's just too simple. There's too many people that are over there. I've seen Christians. I've seen how some of them act, and they just make a mess of things, and that can't actually be real. But I've seen this over here, and you know, there's the Muslims, and there's the Mormons, and there's the Catholics, and man, that just seems like it's so much easier. And you know, I could just work my way to doing all the things that they say. Listen, those things aren't going to work. Those works aren't going to do anything. It's only one way. There's only one way, and Naaman had to wrap his mind around that. He had to wrap his mind around the fact that
this was it. It didn't make sense to him. And his servant knew his heart that Naaman was willing to do anything to be rid of this. And sometimes, I remember witnessing to a man. Oh my goodness, I'd witnessed it to him. I would say probably about 4 or 5 times that I'd tried to talk to him. We spent, a good hour every time. And I'm showing him God's word, and I'm showing him God's word on how he can be saved, and I'm showing him all these things. And he had a very philosophical mind, and he was very well read in philosophy and things. And so he's trying to wrap his mind around this. And I remember the day he got saved. I remember sitting there talking to him. He's sitting there trying to figure out, but what about this? I feel like I have to help people, and I feel like I have to do all this, and I feel like I've got to earn God, and I've got to earn God's grace, and I've got to earn the things that God wants to give me. And so you're telling me that I don't have to do anything. And he said, I don't understand that. I can't wrap my mind around that. He goes, I feel helpless. And I said, great, you can be saved. It made sense to him. When he reached that place of helplessness, when he reached that place of realizing that everything that he could try and figure out, everything that made sense to him were lies. Everything that made sense to him wasn't the fact. The fact is, it only took the water. It only took Jesus Christ. And when he finally realized that he could do nothing but receive the water, he got saved. Oh, it was glorious. It was glorious. And that was what Naaman did. We had the witness, the worker, the preacher, the leper, and then we've got the water. Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Jesus Christ is the living water. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the water that will cleanse you. And Naaman, realizing that all he had to do was drip in that water, and maybe he was reluctant the first couple of times, and maybe he didn't make any sense of it, but one time he came up and he was cleansed. He was pure. He was spotless, without blemish, to be presented before the king. Amen and amen. And that's what God does. He takes an old sinner who just says, fine, I can't do anything anyway, so I'm just going to trust you, God. And he falls on his face and he gets up and can stand before God spotless, clean, a new creature. Jesus, talking to the woman at the well of Samaria, says unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, my favorite part of the story, what really got my attention here, was the last element. We've seen some elements to the salvation, but now there's an element to the sanctification, and it's just the one. I want to look at the convert, Naaman. He got up from the water, cleansed. He didn't go to the king of Syria. He didn't go to the king of Israel. He went right back to the man of God. He hurried to the house of God. He was seeking to sacrifice. He was purposed to please. And I look at these things and I see in Romans chapter, I just couldn't help but see Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Naaman gets up out of the water, and the first place he goes is back to Elisha and says, what can I do? What you got? What can I do? I can't believe this. This is amazing. God has done a work in my life. What can I do for you? Now, Elisha would take nothing from him. Because while Naaman's intentions were good, Elisha says, it's not what I did. It's what he did. Now, and then Naaman, and another thing I noticed, and we didn't read this, but Naaman told Elisha something. He says, look, I'm the servant of the king. And the king, he goes and worships in the house of Rimmon. Now, Ramon was a false god. And he says, preacher, I have to go in with him. I have to serve my king. Will God understand that I'm not going in to worship Ramon? I'm not going in there. I'm just serving my king like I'm supposed to. But I know that there's no other God but yours. Now, there was nothing that happened from the time Naaman got out of that water. Nobody told him to go back to the preacher. Nobody told him to make a sacrifice. Nobody told him that he had to please God in his life. It was just natural. It was all he knew to do. The new creature. See what happens though? What happens today is somebody will make a profession of faith and they'll get saved, and then right there, the devil's right there to mess things up. The devil's right there to lie to them and say, you know, that water didn't really clean you, or you know, you may think you have to go do this, but you really don't have to do this. Just go back to your old life and everything will be all right. The devil spreads his lies right off the bat. He doesn't wait long. But if that new creature will just do what comes natural, just like Naaman did. Naaman went back to the house of God. He says, what can I do? He was willing to sacrifice. He says, everything I've got, it's yours. Everything I got. And he knew that his life had to be different. He says, preacher, I got to go do this. But will God understand? And the preacher said, go in peace. And let me tell you something. That convert, he knew, Brandon. He knew. He didn't have to be taught. He knew. And listen, it just comes natural. So if it's not natural for you to want to come to the house of God and say, what can I do? There's one of two reasons. If it's not natural for you to know that my life has to be different, there's one of two reasons. One, you ain't took a bath yet. One, you ain't took a bath yet. You haven't dipped seven times. You haven't taken what Jesus Christ has for you. You've not been cleansed by the blood of Christ. You have not been regenerated by the living water. Or maybe you have, but you got up, and instead of doing what you knew you needed to do, you let your old flesh talk you into going somewhere else, going on back to the king of Syria and living life like it always has been. It should just come natural to a child of God to sacrifice to the house of God. Well, that's easy for you to say. You're the pastor. It's your job. I may be getting paid to do it now, but I've been doing it for a long time before I was pastor. And I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the God that changed my life. I was a sinner. I was on the way to hell. I was dirty with sin, and he cleansed me. And it just came natural for me to say, God, what can I do? God, what do you want me to do? God, I know my life needs to change. Now, yeah, there were some times that I listened to the old flesh and I let some lies permeate my life. But let me tell you something. It should be natural. And if it's not, you need to take a bath. You need to take a bath. You need to get saved. Get all in. And child of God, maybe you just need to get all in again. Maybe you just need to get all in again. Let the word just wash you. Get in this book. Get in this book. Seven times. Why seven? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Seven times. Get in this thing. Let it wash you. Let it change you so that you'll come up and you'll go, preacher, what you got? What can I do? What can I do? I got to change my life. I got to let God change my life. Every head bowed and every eye closed, stand with me, please.